This morning's scripture lesson comes from the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 36 through 48. Please listen for the word of God. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. He said, "Peace be with you." But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it is really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts do not have bodies as you see that I do." As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet. Still they stood there doubting, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must all come true." Then he opened their minds to understand these scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. With my authority, take this message of repentance to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You are witnesses of all these things." Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning, you heard me talk to the kids about vision. And it's interesting because we've had many visions over the centuries of God and God's mission and God's place for us. And I think we've all heard the expression, "God's anointed." We've heard that expression before, right? Who does it relate to? Kings, queens, political leaders, right? We've heard that expression used so many times. Even in the Bible, we hear the stories of how kings of the Bible were anointed by prophets and priests to lead Israel. And I have heard, even in more modern times, the expression, "Well, he wouldn't be a leader, or she wouldn't be a leader, if God didn't ordain it." Have we heard that before? We've heard that before, right? Whether we agree with it or not. But we've heard that expression used. And it was no different in Jesus' time, because before Jesus was crucified, we know that the emperor, Caesar, was considered the divine leader. He wasn't considered just an anointed leader, but he was considered almost a god by the Roman understanding. And the way that they proved that was that they had conquered all of these multiple civilizations and other kingdoms. Perhaps they still allowed the king or the other leader to be the ruler over those people, but they still had to be under Roman control. Not something we like to think about very much, do we? I'm sure even then the Israelites were frustrated with that concept, that idea that Rome was God. But in our scripture for this morning, and even our scripture for last week, is in direct defiance of that idea. You see, for thousands of years, they had accepted that concept that God anointed their rulers, that God was in charge, and we still believe that God is in charge, but these leaders, through conquering another people, were considered to be God's anointed. I think we know a little better today, don't we? But Jesus was dealing with this mindset when he was teaching, when he was casting out demons, when he was healing. All of the things that Jesus did started to cause some trouble, some stir among the Romans, who were thinking, "Man, if this guy gets any more popular, Caesar might be out." And so what did they do? They crucified him. But God said, that's not the end of the story, right? God had other plans, and God was going to show the world just what he thought of Caesar by rising Christ from the dead. Now, this was a new concept for everyone, something new. It was a vision they couldn't quite see yet. Of course, Jesus had told them all of these things, we know from reading earlier scriptures. We also know because in this particular passage for this morning, Jesus, it tells them that Jesus had told them all these things before. They had the vision, they just hadn't quite seen it yet. How many of us are like that? We do what we're expected to do as Christians. We pray, we study the Bible, we come to church, we worship together, we get together as a community of faith. But we haven't quite got the vision yet. Sometimes I feel like that, even as a pastor. We all feel like that from time to time, that we haven't quite got the vision yet. There's a man who, in the last 20 years or so, shared his story on Facebook. Now, this is Arthur Brumas, I believe is his last name. But Arthur was a Gulf War veteran who, upon returning home, he was a paratrooper, so he would fly in and jump out of the plane and with his parachute, and he did this multiple times. And so when he came home, he had a lot of back problems and a lot of knee problems. And he went to his doctors and they said, you know, you're never going to be able to walk unassisted again. And they showed these videos and pictures of him shortly after he got back. And because he was in so much pain and he couldn't do a lot of physical exercise, he started to gain weight. And for 15 years, his doctors told him, you will never walk unassisted again. If multiple doctors are telling you this, and I'm sure many of you have had similar experiences, and the doctors are saying, nope, not gonna happen. Never gonna happen. We kind of believe it, don't we? We get into a place where we start believing and not envisioning the future that is possible. Now, Arthur got to a point where he was so overweight that it was starting to cause even more problems with his health. Vicious circle, right? Can't exercise, in a lot of pain, so you sit around, gain weight, then you're in even more pain because you've got all this extra weight on you, right? He kept thinking, what am I gonna do? I've gotta do something, but I just can't imagine what that could be yet. What are the possibilities, he would say to himself. Could I go to the gym? Could I, you know, what kind of weights can I lift? Because my back is out, so I can't really lift a whole lot. What kind of exercises can I possibly do? And he thought, yoga. Lots of people who have trouble with mobility do yoga, right? So he went to multiple yoga instructors. And guess what? They all turned him away. Now, you'd probably be getting really discouraged by this point, right? We see that in the Easter story too, don't we? Jesus dies, the disciples kind of go into hiding and are disappointed and discouraged. But Arthur wasn't ready to give up yet. He finally met PDP, who is a yoga instructor. He's actually a famous exercise therapist. And PDP said, you know what? What can I do to help this man? We've got to do something. So they started with simple exercises and assisted exercises. So he might have a chair for balance or a block if he couldn't quite reach the floor. And in this video, you see him making all of these attempts during his exercise time to just balance, to have some balance in some of these poses that he was supposed to be doing. And he fell numerous times. But he got back up and he kept trying. And he said, you know what? If PDP has faith in me, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep going at it. A few months later, he stands in front of the mirror with his phone and his pants are out to here because he has lost some weight. He doesn't quite have the balance or mobility yet. He's still using his crutches, but he's lost the weight, which is what he had started out to do. In 6 months, he had lost 60 pounds. 6 months. Just doing what he was asked to do with this yoga. Eventually, we start to see videos of him attempting to walk without cane. And it's very slow at first, slow steps, methodical steps. But he's doing it. He's able to move around a little bit. 10 months later, he's lost 140 pounds. And he can move unassisted without cane. And not only can he move unassisted without cane, he can run. Do you think he could envision that at the beginning of his story? No, not by a long shot. He was so discouraged and down, but he kept trying. He kept looking for that vision. And somewhere along the way, he saw the vision. And he just kept going. And the more he did it, the more confidence he gained. Now, can you imagine the disciples coming from this mindset and then hearing about the resurrection? So they're getting conflicting messages with themselves. Okay, is this real? What do we do if it is real? What do we do? If we do see Jesus, what do we do with this Roman authority that's come in? And Jesus appears to them and tells them that not only does he want them to go out and to bring people in to know God, but he opens their mind to God's vision. Their minds are opened to what the scriptures said about Jesus. Now, remember, they may not have gotten it back when Jesus was telling them this before Jesus' resurrection, but now they have a vision. They have an idea of where they are going. I think after COVID, or even during COVID, we had no idea where we were going. Today, sometimes we're still not quite sure. But we have gained a vision. I feel like COVID-19 has given us tools and resources that we didn't even know were available to us before. And now we're reaching so many more people. We have people who are going on vacation and able to watch our services. We have people who are getting together online for Zoom to talk about genealogy and family history. We have teams that are able to meet. If they can't meet here at church, they can meet online. We're able to offer so many more programs and things to our children who are here. Now, we still have a long way to go. We still have a lot of challenges ahead of us. But we can see the vision. Many of our committees and teams are already meeting to discuss what that vision for our future is. But we've got it. It's right there on the precipice of our confidence. We just have to, as I told the children this morning, be willing to let God show us that vision. Not try to do it for all for ourselves, but to allow God to open our hearts and our minds to this amazing vision that God has planned for each and every one of us individually and for all of us together as a community of faith. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you that sometimes we don't have all the answers, so that we have to turn and look to you. We thank you, O God, for opening our hearts and our minds to understand your scripture, so that we might fully understand Jesus' part in our lives. Bless us as we go into the world and into our community that we might more fully express and witness our love for you in this place. All this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.